The death of God's love has made it possible for us to be saved from wrath through Him. We're glad you're here today. Welcome those visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and follow along in our study. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made Mother's Day a national holiday. Did you know the Bible teaches us to honor Mother? Ephesians 6 and verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." If you're interested in things being well with you and adding years to your life, then you ought to be interested in honoring Mother, among other reasons. The Word of the Lord has much to say about Mother. If you were to begin reading in the book of Genesis and read all the way through Revelation, all 66 books of the Bible, you'd come across Mother 249 times in 226 verses. This morning in our study, we want to take a look at Mother in Proverbs. 14 times in these 31 chapters, we come across the word mother. Not much to be gained and gleaned from considering the use made of mother in the book of Proverbs. We begin in chapter 1 and in verse 8. You might like to jot these down. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "Wise Solomon said, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." That's the first time mother occurs in Proverbs. And the book says, forsake not the law of thy mother. This direction occurs twice in the book. First here in chapter 1, verse 8. Then again in chapter 6 and in verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. We'll consider both of those. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 8 where both parents, father and mother, are mentioned. He said, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. It's not or, but and. They're joined together, father and mother. Both have a crucial role in a child's rearing. In too many homes, instruction and training become the responsibility of but one instead of both. It is the responsibility of both, father and mother. Notice in verse 9, he said, they, that is the instruction of thy father, the law of thy mother, they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. They refer to a father's instruction and mother's law. Back in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was set over all the land of Egypt, in chapter 41 and in verse 42, Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. In Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, when it came to the writing on the wall, said, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and he shall be third ruler in the kingdom. And so this language is used in Proverbs 1 and in verse 9, an ornament of grace, chains about thy neck, to express the concept that following the teachings of father and mother, those sound instructions, that sound law, will bring a child to great dignity and give beauty to his life. Notice in chapter 6 and in verse 20 when he said, keep and forsake not. He went on to say in verse 21, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. That is your father's commandment, your mother's law. That word bind is a strong word. Bind, to secure them in your heart. Don't let them get away. And tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You might underscore that word continually. He said in verse 21, bind them continually. That assures that you will always have them with you to bless your life. And this buying, this binding, this tying will do three things. It will lead you when you walk. It will watch over you when you sleep and talk with you when you awake. And so your parents' teaching accompany you and instruct you as to what you are to do. So first of all, forsake not the law of thy mother. In chapter 10 and in verse 1, Solomon goes on to say, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. The second occasion where we find the use of the word mother in Proverbs is we learn a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. In other translations, instead of the word heaviness, you have the word grief. A foolish son is the grief of his mother. Notice that's in contrast with a wise son. So you have gladness versus heaviness. Gladness or happiness versus grief. The text shows that what children can do can affect the mental state of their parents. And that's emphasized in other places in this book. In Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25, it is written, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Underscore, greatly rejoice in joy. That's associated with the righteous, with a child that is wise. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Do you make your father and mother to rejoice? Do you bring them great joy and happiness? What you do affects them mentally. Gladness or grief. And that should strike the hearts of parents who are bringing up their children now to realize that your training, your rearing will have much to do with your mental state. Whether you're happy and rejoicing or they're a heaviness, they're a grief to you. So the way you're rearing your children now will have much to do with your own future happiness or grief. The book of Proverbs often emphasizes a wise son. And remember, a wise son makes a glad father. It's a foolish son that's the heaviness of his mother. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. And as you look through the book of Proverbs and you learn what a wise son is, does that describe you? Does that describe me? Proverbs 10:5 says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. So you have two different people represented here. You have one that's industrious, one who's diligent, versus the one that's dilatory, that's lazy, that's slothful, that's a sluggard. Are you gathering in summer or sleeping in harvest? Which best describes you? Are you a wise son? Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but his scorner heareth not rebuke. Do you hear instruction? Do you? Are you a wise son? Then again in chapter 28 and in verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. So as revealed by the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, who a wise son is, can we check those off? Are we a wise son? Are we bringing happiness or heaviness? Proverbs 17 and verse 25 teaches, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. And then Proverbs 19:13 says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. Other translations in place of the word calamity have ruin. A foolish son is the ruin of his father. Did you know you could be the ruin of your father through being foolish? A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. What do you think about that? But also, when you explore the book of Proverbs with relation to mother, notice in the third place in Proverbs 15 and in verse 20, the Bible says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." The third statement we want to underscore is the fact that a foolish man despiseth his mother. One translation says, "A foolish man has no respect for his mother." And there are those in our society who have no respect for their mother. And you know what the Bible says about a person who has no respect for mother? They're foolish. You're foolish if you don't have respect for your mother. Despising mother is the exact opposite of what the fifth commandment stated in Exodus 20 and in verse 12, and that was honor mother. A foolish man despiseth his mother. Next, we turn to Proverbs 19 and in verse 26. "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." This language, "he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother," suggests the son is a grown son, not a child. And it really reflects the gross mistreatment of aged parents, those who would, as the text says, waste father, chase away mother. Parents are to be honored, not dishonored. And this kind of conduct causes shame and bringeth reproach. It causes shame to the parents and brings reproach on his name. In Proverbs 17 and in verse 2, the Bible says, "A wise servant shall have rule over his son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren." He that chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Another text in Proverbs related to mother for this occasion would be Proverbs 20 and in verse 20, where it is written, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." What do we learn here regarding mother? That whoso curseth his mother, his lamp shall be put out. And there are a lot of other texts that discuss cursing and belittling one's parents, like Exodus 21 and verse 17, where we learn in the law that that kind of activity carried the death penalty. Shows God's attitude toward that. "He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Again, in Leviticus this time, chapter 20 and in verse 9, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." And in the New Testament, Jesus made mention of that in Matthew the 15th chapter and in verse 4. He said, "God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death." The wise man said that those who curse mother, their lamp shall be put out. And that's a common expression, one's lamp being put out. Notice Proverbs mentions that again in Proverbs 24 and in verse 20. "For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." Thus, you have it expressed two ways. The Bible's its best commentary. No reward is equivalent to the candle being put out. You'll not prosper. There's no success in cursing father, mother. You'll be brought to an end. Your light's gone out. Your lamp's gone out. You'll be cut off. In the book of Job, you find that same expression used in Job 18 verses 5 and 6 when Bildad the Shuhite said, "Yea, the lie of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." So the putting out of one's candle or one's light, his spark not shining, is associated with the wicked. And the Lord said in the book of Proverbs that whoso, and that includes anyone, everyone, without prejudice, without partiality, whoso curseth his mother, his lamp shall be put out. But also in Proverbs, we learn from chapter 23 something else regarding our responsibility toward mother. Proverbs 23 and in verse 22, it is written, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Or we learn, despise not mother when she is old. We already learned from chapter 15 and verse 20, a foolish man despiseth his mother. And this shows that this is a lifelong responsibility, that our relationship with mother, our honor for mother, is lifelong. Thy mother when she is old. Concerning despising one's mother when she is old, one commentator observed, "When old age with its consequent infirmities comes upon thy mother, despise her not, but rather thank God for giving her long life and profit by her love and long experience." Then in Proverbs 28 and verse 24, Solomon continues, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." So to rob your mother and say it's no transgression puts you in the company of a destroyer. Why would somebody rob their father or their mother? Well, they may think it easy to do. They may think they'd be more lenient if that was found out. They might think, well, it's going to be mine one of these days in time anyway, and thus they'd say it is no transgression. But as long as one's parents live, what's theirs is theirs. And to take from them is robbing. And whoso shows that it doesn't make any difference who it is, it's still robbing. And the text says, "Whoso robbeth his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." A similar expression is used in chapter 18 and in verse 9 of a lazy person. When Solomon said, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." We need to learn and practice Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." There's some in our society who, rather than working with their own hands to have to give, will steal from their own parents. And the same as a companion of a destroyer. Next, in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, Solomon said, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." What do we learn? We learn that a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. Children need instruction and correction. Verse 17 relates to this, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Notice he mentions the rod and reproof. Those are connected. Some, in correcting their children, merely talk to them. And then there may be others who merely whip them. But this points out the necessity of doing both in proper child rearing, child training. It speaks of the rod, that's whipping, and reproof, that's talking, giving wisdom. He said the rod and reproof give wisdom. Do you want your child to be wise? Then wisely reprove them. Wisely use the rod when necessary. That's what the Bible teaches. That's wisdom. And this comes from wisdom literature. The book of Proverbs has as its keynote wisdom. He started out in Proverbs chapter 1 and said that wisdom is the principal thing. And notice throughout the book, like in chapter 19 and verse 18, where these principles are upheld. Chasten thy son while there is hope would indicate that there may come a time when there is no hope. And that's sad, that's tragic when that time comes, because there's no hope. That time has passed. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. Children, like it or not, need chastening from time to time. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And then in verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. In chapter 23, 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, that helps to define what the rod is for, the use of the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, but shalt deliver his soul from hell. And the New Testament upholds that same principle. Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Hebrew writer talked about fathers that chastened us, that corrected us in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 9. He contrasts that, the rod and reproof, that reproof that comes through teaching, through instruction, and then the rod, the corrective measure that's used. He contrasts that with a child left himself. That is a child that goes without proper teaching and proper correction, that doesn't have these restraints. A child left himself is one who is neglected. His parents haven't taught him. They haven't corrected him. And there are a lot of children like that in our society who are just basically left to themselves. They go without proper teaching, without proper correction. And this word left in Proverbs 29 and verse 15 is used in Job 39 and in verse 5 of the wild ass that's left to wander free where it wills. And there are some children like that are just left free to wander where they will. And such neglected children, the Bible says, cause us shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, there may be children that there is a mother in the home. There's a mother that is present. And there are things that are provided for them. They have the food. They have the clothing. They have the shelter and the medical attention that they need. But from a spiritual standpoint, they're left to themselves. And that they're not taught. They're not corrected. There may be a parent or parents present in the home, and yet a child be left to themselves, free to go and roam and do as they please without the proper guidance and instruction, without being trained up and brought up in the way that they should go. And parents should not be surprised when they leave a child in that way, neglect their children in that way by not giving them the wisdom that comes from the rod and reproof, bring shame and cause shame. And because of that neglect later down the road, they don't have that joy that they could have had. They're not having that great rejoicing. But they're feeling heaviness and they're feeling grief. Because there's come a time when that is realized, bringeth his mother to shame. So a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. Then again in Proverbs 30 and verse 11, I learned there is a generation that doth not bless their mother. He mentions different generations, four generations in chapter 11 through 14. There is a generation. Makes a good study. You think of Ecclesiastes, how one generation ariseth, another generation passeth away, and how true that is. What will this generation be? What will the next generation be like? But there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. That's a picture of a generation that is an open violation of Exodus 20:12 and Ephesians 6 and verse 2, which teaches honor thy father and thy mother. there's a generation that doth not bless their mother. Is that you? Does that describe you? Are you a part of that generation? Hopefully none of us are of that generation. But we'd be of the generation that would honor father and mother and obey our parents, as the Bible teaches. Another one from Proverbs 30 is in verse 17, where he said, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." What a graphic depiction of the end that comes to one, the ruin that comes to one who does not obey mother. This shows that a child is responsible to obey his mother as well as father. "The eye that despiseth to obey his mother, the raven shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." And so such a disobedient child will die a violent death. That's the picture here. His corpse will lie unburied, and the birds of prey will feed upon him. It's just showing and depicting the end, the devastation, the destruction, the tragedy of a life lived in disobedience to one's mother. Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That includes father and mother. Ephesians 6, and in verse 2. And then another time we find the word mother is in the final chapter, chapter 31, verse 1. "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." I want us to be impressed with the words of a king his mother taught him. This is prophecy that his mother taught him. And it's certainly worthy of our consideration and application. Notice what she said to her son. And mothers need to be teaching their sons, their children, these same truths. "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?" It shows her respect, her consideration for him. This was the son of her womb, the son of her vows. And notice what she says to him to start out. Verse 3, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." And so she starts out by warning him of women and wine. "Give not thy strength unto women." And then there are those today who would come along and they try to promote alcoholic beverages, intoxicating drink, as if this is for you. This is for you. But what was this mother's message to her son? This is not for you. It's not for you. She said, "It's not for kings, O Lemuel." And this was Lemuel, the king. It's not, what she's saying, it's not for you, Lemuel. It's not for you. Give it to somebody that's ready to die. Put them out of their misery. It's not for you to drink. And that's why in verse 6, "Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish." And so she's doing two things. She's warning him about women and wine. And she's giving him the wisdom, the counsel of being a voice to those who have not. Speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. We need that same instruction today. And then closing with the virtuous woman, the worthy woman. And this is really, the book closes with the picture of ideal womanhood, the ideal woman, the ideal mother, the ideal wife. We heard that read beautifully. Thank you, Charles, for reading that. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. And mothers need to exemplify these characteristics and teach these to their children. Teach your children the things that the mule's mother taught him. If you don't teach your sons, your daughters, these kinds of principles, who will teach them and what will they learn? Who's going to do it? The best place to begin a child's training and instruction is with that child's mother and grandmother. Take Timothy. The results speak for themselves. Consider Timothy and the results that speak volumes. When Paul could write about him and speak of the unfeigned faith that was in him, and Paul said that dwelt first in his mother and his grandmother. So what do we see in Proverbs? Mother is used a number of times to teach of the wonderful lessons. Forsake not the law of thy mother. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A foolish man despiseth his mother. He that chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. Whoso curseth his mother, his lamp shall be put out. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Whoso robbeth his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. There is a generation that doth not bless their mother. The eye that despiseth to obey his mother, the raven shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. And we saw the words of a king his mother taught him. Wonderful things for us to consider today, don't you agree? To read and to reflect upon, with this being set aside as Mother's Day. We love our mother. We honor our mother. We thank God for mother, and we try to be everything that God would have us to be. But realize that the Bible teaches us that we are to love the Lord even more than mother and father, that our relationship with the Lord takes precedent over every earthly relationship. Jesus taught in Matthew 10 and in verse 35 that a man's foes may be they of his own household, that a daughter may be at variance with her mother and mother against daughter. And yet he said in verse 37, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. When we do the will of God, we enter into this kind of relationship with the Lord. That was taught in Matthew chapter 12 when his mother, Jesus' mother, and his brethren stood without desiring to speak with him. One said, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak with thee. And he said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Jesus stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. What a great statement. What a remarkable relationship that we can have with the Lord if we'll but do the will of the Father. It's a family relationship, God's family. And I'm honored that I'm able to worship with my mother, to have that this time that we can be together and our sons with their mother. But there are many mothers, and it's like that, you know, I view those of you who are older as my own mothers. You know, I could mention all of you by name that are older of that age. And you think of that, you may think of younger men as your own sons and younger women as your own daughters. And it's a wonderful relationship. There may be some that didn't have a good father, didn't have a good mother, but when you're in the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, you're baptized into Christ, you have that relationship where you have a lot of people that care for you, that look out for you. The aged women teach the young women. You've got those that kind of take you under their wing, and they may do for you things that your own mother didn't do or your own grandmother, and you're a better person for it. And so we don't just honor our own mothers, but we think about all of those who we've looked to that have had that kind of influence upon us, that there are many mothers, and we thank God for each and every one of you. And never underestimate the great influence that godly women have in promoting the cause of Jesus Christ. When God saw that it was not good that the man should be alone at the beginning, he provided for man's need of companionship. In taking a rib from his side and making a woman and brought her into the man. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. And so God has a very special place for women, for wives, for mothers. And may God help each one of us to appreciate the dignity that God gave to the woman. And the role that he ascribed to her. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to extend to you the Lord's invitation. If you'll come to hear the word of the Lord, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ. Do the will of God. Receive the word of God. Put on Christ today. Become a child of God by faith. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful as a child of God, you're wayward, you're disobedient, you need to repent of that. You need to ask for God's forgiveness. And we'll be happy to pray with you and pray for you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're going to sing a song, Who Will Follow Jesus? Will that be you? Will you make reply? As together we stand and sing, we bid you come.